all this hour, we are focused on the impacts of the coronavirus on children and families. We just took your calls with two mental health experts about how best to talk to children about the, you know, the coronavirus and the ongoing outbreak. Now, what about keeping them and you entertained while stuck at home? What are you doing to keep your family from going stir crazy? Do you need suggestions for what to do? Do you have suggestions for what to do? Is there something that's working in your household that you'd like to share with others? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK or tweet us at Radio Boston. And joining us now to make some suggestions and help take your questions and calls is Quiana Agbai. She runs the Instagram Harlem Lovebirds in New England. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Cindy Reitmeier, who runs the website Boston Tech Mom and is a STEM consultant for students and families. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you for having me.
And Quiana, I'm sorry that I went with Quiana. We have a colleague here with that name, and I just went right to it. Sorry about that, Quiana.
Thank you.
All right. So if you two don't mind, we have a caller who came in at the end of the last segment, and I'd like to go right to her now. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. And we have Nina on the line from Brookline. Nina, go ahead.
Hi. Hi. So I'm here at home working from home. I have two kids, a 6 and a 12-year-old, and the 6-year-old is happy as can be to be out of school, but our 12-year-old just doesn't want to do anything. I started day one with this huge list of all kinds of fantastic activities for all ages, and she's just mad that she can't hang out with her friends, and she doesn't want to do anything. So I was wondering, I mean, I don't know if that's just her way of feeling anxiety or whether there's anything I can do to get my 12-year-old engaged.
That is a great question, Nina. Cindy, I think you have older children. Maybe you can give an assist to Nina on this one for this intransigent tween that she has.
Yes, I have a teenager at home, too. So I think right now it is tough because the teenagers and the tweens tend to be very involved and active in school right now. And all those activities have come to a screeching halt. So I know with my own daughter, I'm giving her a little bit of time just to sort of, you know, ease into this. And the last few days, she's been walking the neighbor's dog and going on walks, and she does like to read. But what I did with her is I said she's been noodling for a while on a creative do-it-yourself project she wants to work on that has a little bit of a business angle. So just yesterday I said, why don't you start to really think about that and let me help you get that started and maybe build that into working on that each day. So perhaps talk with your daughter about her interests and maybe a project she'd like to work on and, you know, take it from that perspective.
And so, Quiana, you have younger kids. Both your kids are under 10. I think this is the first day off of school for you. Is that right?
Yes, it is. They're in Boston Public School System. I have a kindergartner and a fourth grader.
So how did you prepare for today? And are you one of those moms who had like the color-coded schedule? Or did you kind of wake up this morning and say, how's this going to work?
Yeah, well, for us, my fourth grader doesn't get all of her information until tomorrow, actually. And that's when we'll be making use of Google Classroom. So we're going to kind of take the direction from Boston Public Schools on that. But I did see the color-coded chart, and that was great and all. That's been viral. But what I really found helpful, it's kind of what Cindy's saying, is kind of giving the kids, even though mine are 5 and 9, giving them autonomy in the matter. And I've learned that, in general, kids really like to know what the plan is. So I've sat down with them before, knowing that today they were going to start to be home with us for the next 6 weeks. Over the weekend, we talked about what was about to happen. We had a family meeting to kind of decide what are some of the types of things that we'd want to do as a family. There are some things we've been putting off that aren't academic that we kind of want to do together. So it gives us an excuse to put those things in place. But for us, rather than make a mandated hour-by-hour schedule, we're kind of going with the look and feel of each day and, you know, making sure that we get some time outside. We kicked off with a walk yesterday, and today we were greeted with a little bit of snow, so we opted for some YouTube yoga instead.
All right, so we are talking about how to spend the time at home for families and kids. To call in, make your suggestions, or ask your questions, it's 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Anne is on the line from Fenway. Anne, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a full-time artist in Fenway Studios, and one of the assignments I gave to my students, even graduate students at the architecture school at Harvard, is an object notebook. So each kid would have a sketchbook, a notebook, and every day they have to do a drawing in it. And the drawing can be in multiple media. It can be in crayon and pencil, in watercolor. It can be a collage, but it should be just one object, like a teacup that you turn in many, many different directions. Because the challenge is to see how long you can stay with the object and how many different approaches you can have to it.
That's so conducive. That sounds so conducive to these kind of longer time periods at home. And Kiana, I am going to come back to you because I know arts and crafts are a key thing in your house. What's your reaction to Anne's suggestion?
I really love that. And what I've been seeing so far is a lot of artists and designers and creators, musicians, coming on and using technology to give mini lessons. So my kids have really got on board with that. They're not the type of kids who will sit down with all their supplies and get to work, but if it's guided and directed and they're following a short little 20-minute session, like Mo Willems is doing lunch doodles daily at 1 o'clock. So when those go live, my kids like to join in.
Is that on YouTube? Yes,
it's on YouTube. So we just subscribe to a few artists, and then you can set a reminder so it'll pop up on my device and say, hey, they're going live. So we've been able to do that with a few different artists and performers. And so far, the kids like those art breaks.
Cindy, what's the STEM equivalent of what Anne, the artist, was recommending with these object studies in a journal over a period of several days?
Sure. I think one suggestion I have is, this is a great opportunity if you want to dabble and try to learn to code. This is your time. So, you know, coding is a popular activity today for kids, even as young as elementary school, all the way through high school. And what I'd recommend is you can go on Hour of Code. It's a website, and they have free 1-hour coding tutorials and activities for all ages, interests, and skill levels. So it's a great way to get an introduction to computer science. Some of your kids may have already done it in their schools. But you go on the site, you're going to see hundreds of activities. There's themes for everyone, from Minecraft to Star Wars to Harry Potter. And what I'd recommend is for young kids.
So I think we may.
The activity with
there
them.
She is. We lost you for just a second. So pick back up,
sorry.
Cindy, where you said young kids.
Oh, yeah. So my recommendation is for young kids and those who haven't done any type of coding in the past as a parent or a caregiver. Sit down and do the activity with them just to give them some guidance.
And what if the parent's saying, I don't know the first thing about that either?
Yeah, well, most of the introductory programs start with a program language called Scratch, and it's a block-based visual programming language.
It is very
user-friendly. Pretty easy to use. It's very user-friendly. And this is what I've done with my daughter, and I don't have a background in coding. And the great thing is you as the parents will get an introduction to coding as well. So similar to what you're just talking about, you could pick one of these activities every day, every other day, because there's so many different themes out there, and give your kids an introduction to coding.
Let's pick up a call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Cassara's on the line from Watertown. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes. I am a licensed psychologist working with children, adolescents, and adults in Watertown. Many of the children and adolescents I work with have developmental disabilities and delays. And some of the issues that parents are facing with schools being closed is that ABA services and one-to-ones that these kids have depended on every day are no longer in place. And I think kind of what would be important to include in this conversation is the use of telehealth. I've been working with parents via video to help them create structures for their day with their children, in consideration of their developmental needs, but also parent support as well.
Thanks for that, Cassara. And I'm going to come back to both Cindy and Kiana on this and ask you, in the resources that you've begun to gather for your own family strategies, for your blogs, have you come across resources that would be particularly helpful for families who have kids with developmental disabilities, intellectual developmental disabilities, physical disabilities, who might need a different kind of set of supports at home while we're in this great period of interruption? Cindy, why don't I start with you or whoever that was? Go right in.
Oh, this is Kiana. I haven't seen anything in the resources that I'm coming across being as inclusive. What I am seeing, though, is the communication coming through from Boston Public Schools acknowledging that need is there and being willing to step up in that point about telehealth. So I'm seeing that communication come down generally with what's happening as far as knowing that there are that there is a need that needs to be filled. So I appreciate that caller bringing that up.
And we are seeing in general more discussions about telehealth and other forms of providing people mental and physical health care while sort of essentially sheltering in place or self-quarantining in their homes. So that's something we'll continue to watch and cover on WBUR as well. Let's take another call. Ellen is on the line from Brookline. Ellen, please go ahead.
Yes. I was going to say that for simple activities to kids, I learned this in Girl Scout camp. What you do is you take an Idaho potato, cut it in half, and then you could take a jackknife, a pencil, whatever, and draw a design.
On a potato?
On the potato, inside of the potato.
Okay.
And what you're doing is like take, for example, St. Patrick's Day. If you do a shamrock, so you do a shamrock, and then you'd cut it out so that the shamrock would look like bas relief. You know what I'm saying?
I think I do. And then
and then you take whatever tempera paint you want or whatever, dip the potato
like
in
a stamp.
And you put it like a stamp. You're making your own stamp, and you have a big sheet of paper. And you just go around. You can either do it all lined up. You can do it in make wrapping paper, or you can just do a whole montage of stuff and make one giant picture or something.
Ellen, I'm going to take it back from you from there. I have to admit, I am now dying to go home and try this with a potato. So, Kiana and Cindy, what are your sort of potato equivalents? Like the go-to that is the most fun, most unexpected, most simple, low-tech, low-cost stuff in your areas of interest that you can do with kids. Cindy, why don't you go first?
Sure. Well, today online, you have access to so many great science experiments. So I was going to tell parents to visit a site called sciencesparks.com because they have a ton of free science experiments. And often you can do these with materials that you have around your house. And what I love about that site is you get an explanation of why the science works, how it works. You get instructions, list of materials, video, and pictures. So that's a great place to start. An activity I love is making circuits using Play-Doh. We might not all know, but Play-Doh is conductive. So if you
I did not know that.
Yes, I do this at one of the STEM fairs in our elementary school. But if you use Play-Doh and some little LED light ups and a battery, you can teach kids very simple circuitry. And it's hands-on, which I'm a huge fan of. And just simple ways to understand science and electronics. But
excellent.
I would check out.
I'm sorry, we've only got about 20 seconds left. So, Kiana, I want to give you a chance here, too. Go ahead.
Yes, my go-to involves food. So during this time, we have to eat something, and limited deliveries and access to food, it causes us to get creative. So it's been really fun to get our kids involved in the pantries and the deep freezer and try to figure out how we can get creative in the kitchen and get them involved cooking with us.
Okay, and that is Kiana Agbai. She runs the Instagram Harlem Lovebirds in New England. The handle is Harlem Lovebirds. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Cindy Reitmeier, who runs the website Boston Tech Mom and is a STEM consultant for students and families. Thank you, too.
You're welcome.